got a little bone to pick with the programming department. Would it kill you every once in a while to play a little Fog Hat?
It's a Friday right there. Welcome back to the big show. Coming to you from the Carter Subaru studio. Welcome to the big lead, our top stories this hour. And we have a very special guest as we get into the big lead.
The big lead, Dory Monson show exclusive.
Joining me in the studio live is former Governor Gary Locke of the great state of Washington. You okay with the headphones there, Governor? Can you help the Governor with the headphones there? You okay? Okay, we're having a little headphone, little equipment malfunction. Hey, Governor, how are
you? So good to see you again, Dory.
You too. Get real close to that microphone. It has been a while. I told the story on the show yesterday to Ursula and Nicole why, and I don't even know if you remember this, but you suggested when you walked in that maybe you do, that you always have a soft spot in my heart. Because of a kindness you tried to extend my way many years ago when you were governor. Do you remember this at all?
We were talking about plumbing, specifically toilets, and how to repair and replace some of the innards.
I had come home from vacation, my wife and daughters. We had been laid over in a thunderstorm in Chicago for about 6 hours. And we got home at 2 a.m., walked in. There's water dripping out of a ceiling fixture and the powder room toilet. And you were governor at the time. You called in, you diagnosed what the problem was, but then you offered to come by and fix it for me.
I've always enjoyed plumbing and wiring and just home repairs.
I know you.
I've done it for other people during receptions and parties, too. I have tools in the back of my car, and I crawl in underneath the sink and fix it right then and there for them.
But then, it wasn't just an idle promise like most politicians. That evening, you said, hey, I'm not that far. I'm in Seattle tonight. Do you want me to come by and fix your toilet? You called me in the evening and offered to come by and fix my toilet while you were the sitting governor of Washington.
Hey, that's what public service is all about, right?
No, I've gotten used to politics being about saying one thing and then never following through on it. So I was always impressed with you because of that.
Well, I appreciate that.
Yeah, and do you remember that I said no?
Yes, I did not end up at your house.
No,
that's right.
I felt guilty. And I think, as I can best recall, the main reason I said no, I didn't feel like vacuuming that evening. I would have had to have vacuumed before you came over, so that was the reason. Okay, but that's not why you're here. You're not here to talk about my toilet problems today.
Well, I think you've ultimately fixed it. I hope it's not been...
No, it's still dripping. Yeah, no, nobody ever came by. So now are you here to gloat? Because I took an opposite approach to something you've been very public about the last... several days and weeks?
No, not at all. I saw your comments and actually thought that we should have a thoughtful discussion
I'm really glad.
Yeah, about what the census is all about and what the constitutional mandate is for the census and what the Congress has told the Commerce Department, which I used to head when I was Commerce Secretary under Obama, which administers the census, what the objective of the census is and what restrictions the Congress has actually placed on the Commerce Department when we conduct the census.
Okay, so let's put this in layman's terms. The Trump administration wanted to add a question to the census that was essentially, what is your immigration status?
No, actually, the question was, are you or are you not a U.S. citizen?
Oh, okay.
Period.
Okay. All
right. Not immigration status, just are you a U.S. citizen?
Okay, and was it just yesterday or 2 days ago, the Supreme Court decision?
Yesterday, the U.S. Supreme Court on a 5-4 decision based on the Chief Justice ruled that the Commerce Department had violated its own procedures and basically had come up with a lie as the justification for including the citizenship question on the census.
And it was rather starkly divided, as you said, 5-4 decision by the Supreme Court. So let me ask you, what is wrong with finding out how many illegals we have here?
Well, actually, the Commerce Department does every year conduct a survey of about 3-4 million households, and they do this every year instead of waiting every 10 years, in which they determine the citizenship of the people of America. And as part of this, it's a survey called the American Community Survey, in which they ask education, do you rent, own a house, what's your income level? Even like how many bathrooms do you have in your house and how do you heat your home?
But that's a sample. I mean, you have to extrapolate numbers
right.
from that.
They extrapolate, but they also then use a whole bunch of other government documents to determine the number of citizens in America.
Okay.
And it's considered very, very reliable. And in fact, so during this debate, the top officials in the Commerce Department and the Census Bureau were opposed to the inclusion of the citizenship question because the secretary asked him, well, we should find out how many citizens there are in the United States to help enforce the Voting Rights Act. And the Commerce Department officials, these are all career people who are statisticians. I mean, these mm-hmm. are the real geeks.
Right.
These are the real mathematician geeks. They're saying that we actually have better ways of doing that. And if you include the question on the census, given the number of people that the Commerce Department and the Census Bureau estimated would refuse to answer the question and not participate in the census. They actually said that putting that question on the census would give you an inaccurate number of the number of citizens in America.
Well, and in fact, you, just a week or two ago, you encouraged everybody, citizen and non-citizen, to refuse to answer that question on the census. That was before the Supreme Court ruling came down.
That was before the Supreme Court ruling came down and anticipating that they might rule that it was proper to include that.
Right.
Because the Commerce Department does have other ways and every year does provide those numbers on citizenship. And because this question was absolutely not necessary and because of the political motive of putting that question on, which, you know,
there's an argument there because
they're
legally prohibited from sharing that information as a census for any political purposes.
Well, no, but No. You cannot share it with other government agencies for other purposes, but the information would be used for political purposes by the states when they redistrict and draw their boundaries for the number of for the members of Congress
right.
or for their state legislature.
Well, let's talk about that for a second.
But the reason that it was political is that recently revealed documents from a Republican statistician had urged the Trump administration and was part of a movement among many states to find out how many citizens there are in each state so that they could say that the members of Congress should be apportioned out
based only on citizenship
and not and even some are saying only on voting age citizens.
Okay, because here and let's make sure everybody understands this, because our congressional delegations apportionment are based on our total population of citizens and non-citizens, and Washington is one of less than a handful of states. We actually have an extra congressional seat because of the number of illegals that we have here in Washington.
No, we have an extra seat because of the total population in the state of Washington has grown.
Right, but if
in
you
comparison to, let's say, Iowa or Dakota.
Understood, but if you only took the number of citizens in Washington, and again, I'm going back to that census extrapolation you were talking, not the census, but the commerce questionnaire. If you go back to that, we have an extra congressional seat because we are one of the, on a per capita basis, we're one of the top states in the country for illegals. And we are clear. I mean, the data's there. We are a state that has an extra congressional seat because of the number of illegals in our state.
We have extra congressional seat because of the total population, which includes citizens and non-citizens.
Right. Well, we're saying the same thing.
No.
Yeah, we are.
I have a lot of friends, elders of our church, who are not a U.S. citizen, but they were a citizen of Canada, never got an American citizenship, and have been living here for decades paying taxes.
But we don't have an extra congressional seat for that reason.
We have a lot of immigrants who have been here who have come here legally with green cards and everything who are not yet eligible to even apply for citizenship.
Right.
And so we have a large immigrant community, but here legally. So you cannot say it's because of illegal immigrants.
I'm not talking about the legal immigrants who are here. They are part of our citizenship count. I'm talking about the people who are here illegally. But let me play for you one quick soundbite from the debate last night when this question was asked of all 10.
This is a show of hands question, and hold them up for a moment so people can see. Raise your hand if your government plan would provide coverage for undocumented immigrants.
All 10 Democrats raised their hand for that. So here's my problem with all this, Governor. is how many illegals do we have in this country? Because by some estimates, there's 8 million. There's some estimates that it's as high as 30 million. And Medicare, if we're going to give Medicare to every illegal, that's about $10,000 per person. And every Democrat on that stage last night said they want to do that. How much is that going to cost our country? If there are 8 million illegals, we're talking about $80 billion. If there are 30 million illegals, we're talking about $300 billion. Don't we deserve to know, since all the Democrat candidates want to give health care to illegals, shouldn't we as a nation know how many are here?
Well, of course we need to know how many are here.
How many do you think are here?
But let me just say this. The census was never going to – even if the question was included in the 2020 census as proposed by Commerce Secretary Ross, it was not going to provide that information.
Because people weren't going to answer the question.
No, no.
Okay.
No, because the question did not ask, are you here legally or illegally? It just said, are you a U.S. citizen?
Mm-hmm.
So that would have counted all the immigrants. So, I mean, there are various groups that say – here's a quote from the American Conservative Union – it said, if the census is not about determining the number of people legally in the country to determine congressional populations, then the most basic idea of a republic has been destroyed. They were assuming that this question would have given you the information as to who's here legally or illegally. No. The question was just, are you a U.S. citizen? Period.
And so you're saying that people who are awaiting citizenship through legal channels would not be counted. Is that right?
They would have – that would not have given the information
okay.
as to how many are here legally or illegally. Because if the objective is to say that in the state of Washington, the number of seats that we get for the United States Congress and the how you draw the districts and each district has to have the same population, that we should not be including in those numbers and those calculations whether – you know, how many people in the 7th congressional district versus the 9th or even how many seats – in Congress, the state of Washington gets.
Okay, so if that's your objection.
But the point is that asking this question would not have given you the answer
okay.
that you and some of your colleagues want in terms of how many illegals there are.
So if they rephrased the question and asked, are you in this country illegally, would you be okay with that?
No, I would not be okay with that either.
Well, how are we going to find out?
Well,
I mean, how many do you think there are? How many illegals do you think there are in the United States?
I have not studied that. I have not given any thought to that. But let me just say.
But so how do we know if we can support Medicare for
I
have no idea if it's 8 million or 30 million?
I'm not saying that we shouldn't have that information. I'm just saying that I have not looked into that.
So how should we get it?
And I'm not saying – and I'm saying that the census is not the proper vehicle for doing that, because even if the question had been allowed, you would not get the answer that you're seeking.
Because people would not have answered.
No, because even if they answered that, they said
– No. I'm saying if the question was specifically, are you here illegally, then the question would answer that. But you're saying you wouldn't like that either.
Well, no, because we would know that a lot of people simply would not answer the question, which is why the Census Bureau professionals themselves said even the limited question – of asking, are you a U.S. citizen, would have dissuaded and resulted in people not even answering the question.
So how do you
which then would have given an inaccurate count
okay.
of how many people are here
so
as
how
a
do you
U.S.
think
citizen.
We should find out how many illegals there are in America.
Again, I have not looked at how we can look at that, but I know that there are government records. We can use law enforcement records.
No, we
et cetera,
can't.
Et cetera.
No, we can't. I mean, we have no idea in our state because we're a sanctuary state. There are no government records in Washington. They just let a two-time rapist who was here illegally walk free, and he went and assaulted his rape victim because the judge claims, this you know, just a couple weeks ago, I had the victim in the studio with me yesterday. The judge claims that she wasn't allowed by law to ask that question, and now the governor's office refuses to explain if the sanctuary state law is what mandated the governor. But to say that we have other records available, there are no records in Washington state as a sanctuary state because every single state and local agency is prohibited from asking any question related to citizenship status.
Law enforcement has the capability of knowing when they're arresting people and incarcerating people.
Then they're in violation of the sanctuary state
when
law.
They're about to release people to determine their immigration status, to find out if there's a hold on them from the federal agencies and so forth.
King County Sheriffs?
They're subject to deportation.
They don't have that info. They won't give me that info because they say we are not allowed to ask the question. I talked to the Spokane County Sheriff a couple of weeks ago, and he said, I am going to violate Jay Inslee's dictate because this dictates in violation of the United States Constitution. So law enforcement has to they have to evade state law if they were going to ask that. But since most are complying, there's no way we could ever get some accurate count in Washington state as to how many are illegal.
I understand the dilemma and the objective of trying to get an accurate count of people who are here legally, undocumented, so forth. I'm just saying that the census is not the correct way to do it. Number one, because inclusion of the question would have actually dissuaded people from answering it. That would have even skewed the statistics. And I mean, if I were in your shoes, you would say, oh my gosh, then they're actually undercounting the number of people who are not here legally because all these people refuse to answer the question.
Well, I would just like to know how many.
I understand.
And I think taxpayers deserve to know
that. That's a fair question. No, that's a fair question. But I'm just talking about the census. And what I was trying to say is that the Commerce Department own professionals said that they had more accurate ways of getting to the information that the Trump administration wanted, which was how many citizens are there in America.
Right. Okay. Right?
Second of all, the Congress mandated and told the Commerce Department back in 1990 that you need to keep the questions as short as possible and focus really on just the count of the number of people in America so that we can get a more accurate count of that number. Because up until recently, they used to have only about 10 questions on the census, but 15 to 20% would get another questionnaire of about 50, 60 questions, which people did not turn in, which then made the census very inaccurate.
I just think there's a political motivation to not ever count that accurately. And it's so we get extra congressional seats, so we get extra federal dollars here in Washington.
But with some of the states that are purely Republican, strongly Republican, like Texas, obviously they have a lot of undocumented immigrants there. And they have gained extra seats in Congress, too.
California's gained the most.
It cuts both ways.
Right.
I
only have a minute left. What do you think of this this Trump guy as president? You like him?
Well, I disagree with him on most policies, although I'm helping to promote the passage of the renegotiated what I call NAFTA 2.0, which is the U.S.-Mexico Canada trade agreement, because it's going to increase jobs for the people of Washington State. And it corrects some of the deficiencies that have cropped up.
Okay,
with NAFTA
he talked
over
about
the
that when he was campaigning.
Years.
Yeah, and I'm really out of time. But why does everybody hate him so? I didn't vote for him. I did not vote for him. There was a better candidate in my view than him. I voted for myself. I wrote in myself on the ballot. But I look at the two things I care about the most: the economy and national safety, national security. And I think by those metrics, which is really all I care about from a president, I think he's done really good. Why? Give me in 30 seconds. Why is he so despised?
I think we want a president that our kids can look up to, that we can hold up as a role model in terms of personal behavior, in terms of ethics, in terms of consistency of what you say. I mean, you were complaining earlier about politicians who say one thing and don't do it and follow through. I mean, don't we want that? I mean, a president who...
Do you think his main opponent was better in any of those categories?
Yes, I do.
Really?
Yes, I do.
Really?
Yeah. Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
But let me just get back to the census. You know, the census goes back to 1790.
It's constitutionally mandated.
And here's the thing. Even then, we counted non-citizens. There are some people in the country who think the census should be used only to determine the number of voting age people.
I know.
And that the districts... Congressional districts, legislative districts should be based on the number of voters, so that means citizens. As even some say only voting age, only 18 and above.
But let's be real.
But in 1790, we counted women who were not eligible to vote.
I know.
We counted slaves who were not eligible to vote,
and not even considered citizens.
They weren't even considered
fathers,
citizens.
Our founding fathers, they never envisioned open borders. They never envisioned that we would... You know, have anchor babies. I mean, there's a lot of stuff going on now that certainly wasn't envisioned then. But I wish you'd come by more often.
I'd love to.
Okay. All right. I really appreciate it. It's good seeing you.
Good to see you, Dory.
Okay. Former Washington Governor Gary Locke joining us in our awesome audio of the week is coming up next. let me down, Sean. Don't let me down, Sean! Yes!
And Tracy's bouncing over there.
How can you not? It's Friday. The thing about this music is it also means we're in the final half hour of the work week.
I know.
Friday night, just got paid. You know what that means? Like I go out on Friday nights. What a dork.
You're thinking of those Tubbs days.
Man, we had a lot of people comment on the Tubbs days. Jeez. Say, how about that Gary Locke, who is just in here?
What a nice man.
Oh, that's proof that I can get along with anyone. I always thought he was a good governor. I liked him.
Yes.
I voted for him as governor. And even though I didn't agree with everything,
yeah.
I thought, I mean, you compare Gary Locke would be considered a right-wing radical compared to what's going on now down in Olympia and elsewhere.
It's just, there was days of moderation. It was days of...
Yes.
Yeah.
We
being able to have civil discussions.
It was very awkward, though, when he walked in the studio.
Why?
We went to shake each other's hands.
Yeah.
And I think I initiated the bro hug. And I didn't know if I should be bro hugging Gary Locke.
This is the new Dory. Absolutely.
Yes. I exude warmth. That's all I do. It seeps out of my pores.
Exactly.
Like summertime sweat. Okay, with that as mere prelude, let's get to our favorite sound bites of the week.
This is Dory Monson's awesome audio clips of the week.
Okay, at number three, did you hear this one when I had it a few days ago? This was
which one?
It was a reporter for KTLA down in Los Angeles, and she tried to get a comment from somebody, and they wouldn't comment. And I thought it was for, well, a very good reason, actually.
Number three.
Tried to reach out to the man who died in this pursuit. They were unavailable for comment. Micah, back to you.
Okay, no. That didn't happen.
It just, when I heard that, it reminded me of one of my all-time favorite news bloopers. So I'll just play it again right now. This is from many, many years ago. I'm sure you remember this. It was one of those happy morning news show stories, and the reporter was out stomping grapes at a winery in a barrel.
Right here, these buckets are filled with grapes. What kind of grapes?
These are filled with Chamberson grapes, and the winner this Saturday who stomps the most juice will actually win an overnight stay here at Chateau Alon.
You ready?
You ready to try it?
Yeah, sure.
Let's go.
Yeah,
that's
sure.
Disgusting.
The reporter didn't want to do it,
give
said
us
it was
a
disgusting.
Second time. Here you go. So what's the deal here?
They're stomping the grapes, and I gotta skip forward here.
It's a lot of fun, a whole day.
Stop. Oh, stop.
Oh, no.
Oh, dear. I think she's actually hurt.
No,
there.
I think she is.
Yeah, she's hurt. She took a hard fall off there.
Okay. What?
Gosh, wait. I hope she's okay.
Okay, stop. Was that the reporter?
That was the reporter.
No.
And those were the anchors in the studio.
Oh, no.
Oh, ouch. Oh, I think she's really hurt. Yeah, you think so?
She couldn't breathe, too. It's like, well, how deep was it?
At number two, Trump accuser E. Jean Carroll. She kind of lost credibility as she made all her appearances this week.
Number two.
You don't feel like a victim.
I was not thrown on the ground and ravished, which... The word rape carries so many sexual connotations. This was not sexual. It hurt.
Well, I think most people think of rape it is a violent assault. It is not.
I think most people think of rape as being sexy. Mm.
Let's take a short break.
Think of the fantasies.
Mm. We're going to take a quick break. If you can stick around, we'll talk more on the other side.
You're fascinating to talk to.
And at number one, Jay Inslee winning the debate on Wednesday night.
number one.
And I'm proud of standing up for unions. I've got a plan to reinvigorate collective bargaining so we can increase wages finally. I marched with the SEIU folks. It is not right that the CEO of McDonald's makes 2,100 times more than the people slinging hash at McDonald's.
So we've got the heroin and meth in King County. We got all the weed.
We got the best weed in the United States.
According to Inslee. And now?
I respect hash.
Yeah, yeah. We're like Amsterdam. That's our favorite soundbites of the week, brought to you by Brown Bear Car Wash. Today's sign next.
And down the stretch we come. What a week, what a show, what a show, what a week. Thank you for all the story tips and ideas and all the exclusives that you once again provided us this week. I very much appreciate it. Now, let's all go have a great weekend after we listen to today's edition of
Today's Sign that the end is near.
Today's sign, the world is soon coming to an end. Dateline King County, where Ron Sims used to be the King County executive. He also used to be the chair of the Sound Transit Board. And I saw a tweet from Ron Sims earlier today. The Seattle Times, as I told you yesterday, is endorsing the massive new Seattle library property tax increase. And Ron Sims, in his support of that, wrote, "Tyrants burned books to suppress freedom of opinion. Libraries are unquestionably integral to a free society. They reflect our commitment to intellectual and cultural growth. They are priceless." You know what else is integral to a free society, Ron Sims? Elected leaders who tell the truth. And when you, a self-declared man of God, when you sat in the studio and lied to me and my listeners about Sound Transit having enough money to finish phase one, when you were pushing for billions in tax hikes for a phase two, you knew you were lying. I knew I was lying, but you were willing to lie to the people to try to steal billions of dollars in a vote that likely would have failed if people had known the truth. My listeners knew the truth, but most of the other fools who voted on that did not. So when you talk about something being integral to a free society, when you were willing to lie to secure billions of dollars, and by the way, the proof that it's a lie, that phase one that you said they had enough money for, when you and I talked about it 15 years ago, it still isn't finished. It's 13 years behind schedule and counting, with no end in sight. You were, and I presume still are, a liar. But you can quote all you want and tweet all you want about things that are integral to a free society. When you've played the role that you've played in this region to steal billions and billions, tens of billions of dollars, don't talk to us about integrity. It doesn't work coming from you. Today's signed story number two, New York Magazine has a fascinating new piece by Sarah Miller, where she describes her best abortion ever. In the article, Sarah Miller, she doesn't want a baby, but she's found herself pregnant four times somehow over the last 16 years. She says her first abortion was in the early 90s when she was 24 years old. She said that she was in a lot of pain. She said that she felt awful, bled for days. Her second abortion, she doesn't say exactly when it was, but it was just as bad. In 2011, for her third abortion, she took the abortion pill, and she said, "I bled, I was nauseous, I had cramps, I could not get comfortable." But then for the fourth abortion, She says she wanted a surgical aspiration abortion that time. And she said at the abortion facility, the receptionist said, "We've gotten way better at abortions." And she said that the woman who works on Tuesdays is amazing. And then, according to this writer, she said the receptionist looked so happy. She actually said yay as she tapped my file on the counter. "This woman is seriously just so incredible at abortions. I think you're really going to like it." And it turns out her fourth abortion she now describes as her best one. She said that it wasn't, you know, completely pain-free, but compared to the first three, this one was amazing. And she also said that she thought about having at least one of the babies, because she's now over 40, underemployed, with a partner who doesn't care. And she said that she just feels like the fourth one was the best compared to all the others. So, fourth time's the charm. God bless her. And then finally, I told you a couple weeks ago about the squirrel that was found in a guy's apartment in Alabama. He fed the squirrel meth so it would attack anybody who came into the apartment, because the guy wanted the squirrel to protect his drug stash. Well, the guy now has been caught. He had been on the run for the last 2 weeks, but he was caught last night following a chase in which he rammed an investigator's vehicle. 35-year-old Mickey Polk has been taken into custody on a series of drug and firearms charges. As for the squirrel, they don't know what's going to happen to it, but if it's addicted to meth, it should come up here to Puget Sound area. If you're listening, Mr. Squirrel, if you come up here to King County, they will not arrest you. They will not hassle you for any amount of meth that you have, as long as it's personal possession amount. They'll just take great care of you, and we'll see if we can find you housing. Although Sound Transit is cutting down all the trees around here, we'll probably build you something. Taxpayers will take care of you. Don't worry about that. And all of that is today's sign. The end is near. Close out the week with this. Sheryl Crow and Joe Walsh.
I like the way you're able to ignore.
Somebody once said of Joe Walsh, he is to music what bacon is to food. He just makes everything better. I find that hard to disagree with. I'd love to play the whole thing, but I got to get out of here. I've said everything I have to say for this week. But I'll go home, lounge on my deck, and think up a bunch of new stuff for Monday's show. You have a fantastic weekend. Kenny, Mike, and Todd are coming up next. And I will see you back here Monday. High noon. Head up.
I'm a man. I'm sensitive. I need to feel loved. I need to be desired.
Thank you very much, ladies and gentlemen. You're really a fantastic audience.